Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. We can get back into the NFL draft and the quarterback conversation with you. A lot of tweets coming in at Grant H. Paulson, at Funny Danny, as we continue today, and certainly as we get closer and closer to the Redskins having to make a critical decision this offseason. Do want to point out, I mentioned Daniel Jones was a junior, so wasn't at the Senior Bowl, but because he was a four-year player at Duke, he did get to go to the Senior Bowl, participate in the activities in Mobile this past week. Let's get to the Mattress Warehouse Hotline and talk to our buddy Jared Greenberg of NBA TV and Turner Sports. You hear him on Sirius XM NBA channel as well. Jared, love having you on the show to talk NBA, especially when there is Wizards news to get to. Yeah. Give us the national perspective on Otto Porter being shipped to Chicago for Bobby Portis and Jabari Parker, and Markieff Morris headed to New Orleans for, you know, a player who's not going to help a whole lot, but is an expiring contract.
The wise Wizards. That's the national perspective. Listen, I get that there may be some angst as to what the Wizards got back in a couple of these deals. But hallelujah, finally looking in the mirror and having some self-awareness and having some fortitude to say, you know what? Becoming the eighth seed and getting blasted in the first round by a team, whether it's Milwaukee, Toronto, Boston, Philly, is not worth it. We've got to start to figure out next year now and getting ourselves to the playoffs, even though it puts some more money in the owner's pocket by getting at least two home games, doesn't help us in the long run. So while the value in return for some of these deals is not very good, I would also argue that it wasn't easy to get Otto Porter off the books. Remember what we had talked about over the last year. Like the Wizards, because of some previous decisions, were almost forced into giving Otto Porter that money. And now you said, well, Otto Porter is not performing up to his point or productivity per dollar, whatever that means. So we wanted to get rid of him. Well, guess what? You got rid of him. And now that starts to help create at least the beginning steps of some flexibility.
Jared, as the Patriots had their Super Bowl parade, another one in Boston, I'm wondering if you're going to make the parade that the Wizards are going on, because they got under that luxury tax. Ernie Grunfeld's very proud of that fact, and that, I'm sure that puts a lot of delicious brisket in my stomach. I'm so irritated by it, because your point is right. They did what needed to be done, but they didn't move Jeff Green. They didn't move Trevor Ariza. They're indicating they plan on re-signing those guys to bring back whatever group this is for another run at that 8 seed next year. I don't get what they don't get.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. But I would also argue, again, from the national perspective, that there are a lot of guys that did not get moved. With the record number of trades that we did have over the last week and the record number of guys that were moved, this will also be maybe the most talented group on the buyout market that the NBA has ever seen. There will be tons of transactions that are done with guys being waived and signed for teams looking for one piece or two pieces that are looking to make a championship run or at least deep playoff run. So I would say, yes, you're absolutely right. Once you started the process of unloading Markieff Morris and Otto Porter, you then needed to get out from Trevor Ariza and Jeff Green. But I would also say that those guys are coming off the books, right? So to your point, the whole luxury tax thing, I think, is the dumbest conversation for fans and the media to have, because whether your team is paying the luxury tax or not, it doesn't cost you a single dollar more on your ticket or on your cable bill or on the merchandise that you do or do not buy, right? Like the whole luxury tax thing and the whole salary cap thing is more of a conversation for the owner. And do we really care about the billionaire's pocket more so we care about the product in the court? So ultimately, the long-term rebuild for this Wizards, which is going to be a long one. Like, I wish they would have recognized this after last year when saying, like, they tried to use the excuse of John Wall missing half the year last year as to why they only got to the eighth spot. And then, they took the Raptors to six games. We're fine. We'll be good. Well, guess what? John Wall got hurt again, and the team around him was not good enough with or without him, to carry you anywhere beyond the eighth seed. So you should have recognized that before this season, right after last season, when all you were was the eighth seed. So I get what you're saying, but the point of it is that those guys are coming off the books anyway.
Jared Greenberg is with us. You can listen to him on SiriusXM's NBA channel and see him on NBA TV. Should they trade Bradley Beal if the deal is right?
Yeah, I mean, I would have. I had a lot of conversations with a lot of my colleagues, a lot of people around the league about that. You know how the NBA works now, and you guys doing a talk radio show, I'm sure, are feeling it just like I do, where you talk very little about the actual game that's played on the court. It's always the drama, either about trades or rumors or, you know, stuff that happens on social media. To me, I mean, it's fun. It is very fun. And now that the Anthony Davis saga for now has been put on pause, because this whole thing, we're going to copy and paste and do the exercise all over again once we get to the NBA draft about where he's going to get dealt. But the question is, Anthony Davis is not the first guy. He's actually in a long line of guys who have done this recently. Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, and there's even more. But who's next? It doesn't look like it's Giannis Antetokounmpo. All signs point to him being very happy in Milwaukee. So my guess is Bradley Beal at some point is going to get fed up with what is going on there unless they start to make wise moves. Now, listen, Bradley Beal, I remember back when the Wizards played in London a couple of weeks back against the Knicks, and Bradley Beal came out and Ted Leonsis was there, and he spoke to the media and said, listen, I had a conversation with Bradley Beal, and we're not going to allow ourselves to go into tank mode. Bradley Beal has promised me we feel like we can make the playoffs. If you're a Wizards fan, you've got to love Bradley Beal. He's always got his head on right. He plays hard. He plays the right way. It seems like he's been put in a difficult spot. I don't mean to take all the blame off of him, because I think at times he does need to be better, even though he's having the best year of his career. But ultimately, I think this move by the Wizards, by kind of starting to tear it down, not doing a full tear down, but starting to, is going to show to him that they finally get it. Because Bradley Beal's got to be looking around, even if they did do right, which is believing in him that they could win, he's got to be thinking, well, the ceiling is here. I'm looking straight at the ceiling as soon as I look up. You've got to give me some more room to work with. So I think showing him that they're willing to identify that they have issues and start to work on them could go a long way to preventing Bradley Beal from being that next big superstar in the league to say, I want out. I'm done.
At Jared S. Greenberg on Twitter. Great follow if you love hoops for our guest, Jared Greenberg, here on Grant and Danny. Let's go into the draft element of this here, Jared. Ernie Grunfeld hates second-round picks, or they love getting rid of them. They don't have one through 2023, and other GMs are taking advantage of the fact that they don't understand the potential value of those things. He had some rambling, bizarre answer yesterday where he said, well, we have a G League team now, so do 26 other teams, by the way, right. And if we want a second-round pick, we can just buy it with some of the money we saved. It didn't make any sense to anybody, maybe, but him and a couple people inside the room. People are taking advantage of that. What don't they see?
Well, I mean, he does have one valid point. To be honest with you, I did not hear the press conference, but taking your word at what he said here, there is the point of the money. The one point of if you're saving the money and you do have the ability to spend a certain amount of money on either in trades that you can offer other teams and money you could spend on a second round pick, that is fair. But now you got to hold his feet to the fire on that, right? Like,
right.
You got to go see him do that. Like the Golden State Warriors, for example, they remember a couple of years ago used money to go get Jordan Bell. Another team picked him, and they just sent a couple of million dollars over to that team, and that's how they got Jordan Bell. So you can do those things, and he's absolutely right. But now you got to go see him do it. I think the big thing for the Wizards here, and I was so, like, I felt like I was being tongue-in-cheek about this in the lead-up to the trade deadline. I was just fearful that to get out from underneath some of these salaries that the Wizards had to get out from, which I thought the biggest ones were the Otto Porter one, obviously, was that they would have to give up a first-round pick to do so. Because you see in all these deals, like, you know, these teams having to give up picks in order to get out from salary. And the Wizards notoriously over the last few years have had to sacrifice first-round picks, which I think is the biggest issue here, is that listen, you had to pay Otto Porter. You had to go do that. But you had to go do that, and then you didn't have a first-round pick the year before because you went out and you got Bogdanovich, who was a three-month rental, right? Like, so that was the head-scratching thing. And then that pick turns into Jared Allen, who's proving to be a dominant center in this league. And meanwhile, you've gone and signed Jan Mahinmi, bad selection. You've signed Dwight Howard, bad selection. And you could have had Jared Allen, but you got Bogdanovich instead for 3 months, right? So it's like those things that put this team in a hole. Now that they didn't give up their first-round pick, that's what I'd be focused on. Now we're not going to try and win games. We're not going to go for that eighth seed. We're going to have a relatively really good first-round pick. Let's go develop some other good young talent that will go alongside guys like Thomas Bryant and go alongside Troy Brown, who look like they're, you know, it's going to take a while, but these guys have tremendous upside.
Jared, as you guys were breaking down the trade deadline for 4+ hours on NBA TV yesterday, who came out as your winner and who didn't do enough or baffled you with some of the decisions they made?
Well, I think the winner for the big picture of the entire season is Philadelphia, just living in the vacuum of this season. They did the most to increase their talent level by adding Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris. Now, in 6 months from now, over the summer, if Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris are no longer on the team and the Sixers didn't go to the NBA Finals, they will become the biggest loser because they had to give up so much to get those guys going all in for this season. And if you don't get to where you want to go this season, and then all of a sudden you don't have draft picks and you have huge roster holes, then you're in trouble. I would say the Milwaukee Bucks, I think, did the most to add pieces that are important but the least disruptive. Like Nick Mirotic into this lineup in Milwaukee, you're not going to worry about him fitting in, but once he does get in there, he's going to be incredibly impactful. And I think that the Toronto Raptors, twofold on them. Number one, they go all in on this season by adding a guy like Marc Gasol to already what is one of the most talented rosters in basketball. But then you also prove to Kawhi Leonard that you're willing to each and every year commit to winning and do whatever it takes to add talent. So I think Marc Gasol helps the Raptors and makes them a legit contender to win the East and come out of the East and for the first time in Toronto history go to the NBA Finals. But I also think it proves to Kawhi and is another step in his recruitment to keeping him beyond the season, regardless of how far they go in the playoffs.
Jared, awesome as always, buddy. Let's do this again soon, pal. Appreciate the time.
Oh, you got it. Appreciate you guys having me on. Thanks, guys.
Best. We love him. Jared Greenberg here on Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. The AAF starts this weekend. There's some NFL names involved. Will you be watching any of this non-NFL outdoor football league? We're G&D.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. This weekend, the beginning of the American Alliance of Football. I think they actually flipped the A, so it's the Alliance of American Football, the AAF. They've got a TV partner, CBS Sports, the CBS Sports Network. They will kick off their inaugural stretch of games. There are eight teams, the Atlanta Legends, the Birmingham Iron, Memphis Express, the Orlando Apollos are all in a division in the Eastern Conference. The Western Conference is the Arizona Hotshots, the Salt Lake Stallions, the San Antonio Commanders, and the San Diego Fleet. That's right. Get ready, baby. The NFL might be in the rearview mirror. The Super Bowl is come and gone, but the AAF is here for us. So the amount of people involved in this league, originally, remember Mike Shanahan and some people were heavily involved in helping to plot this out and plan this out.
Was that the same league as this one?
I think it was the beginning ideas of this league. It ended up being taking on like different path.
Iterations.
That was originally more of like a college players that don't want to keep going to college can come to this league. This is overseen by former NFL GM Bill Polian, former Steelers safety Troy Polamalu, and a longtime NFL executive, the McKay family you're familiar with, J.K. McKay. Advisors to the league also include Hines Ward, Justin Tuck, the Ebersole family, the television network, of course, NBC Sports executive, co-founder of the original XFL, Dick Ebersole, is heavily involved in this. But I was looking up some of the names of the coaches in this league. So here are your head coaches. Rick Neuheisel, who coached at UCLA, has been a guest on this show, on a staff running a team. Mike Martz coaches the San Diego Fleet, one of the great coordinators over the last quarter century in the NFL. Mike Riley, remember him, an American football coach, former player, currently coaching now in the AFL, previously was the head man at Nebraska. Dennis Erickson is a head coach in this league, forever a coach at Arizona State, but also coached in Seattle.
Coached at Miami, didn't he?
In the NFL, yes, he did.
Erickson, that coach of Miami?
Other coaches, Mike Singletary. Can't coach with him. Can't play with him. Can't win with him. Can't do it. Steve Spurrier is going to coach the Orlando Apollos. Did you know Steve Spurrier was a head coach?
I had no idea.
I don't know who Tim Lewis is, American football coach, former cornerback. I do remember him actually playing in the NFL, I guess.
I don't.
Green Bay Packers, played four NFL seasons. His career ended. And then Kevin Coyle is the last of the coaches. He previously was a defensive staff member with the LSU Tigers and was on the staff with the Cincinnati Bengals coaching DBs. So those are the eight head coaches. But you got play callers like Michael Vick, dude. He's going to be an OC. He's going to be in a quarterback's earphones, just rolling through the plays, man. Hey, I want you to go out here on gun. Got trips to the left. You're looking for 82 on a hook.
What you want to do is take a quick look at a receiver, and if you don't like it, take off running.
That'd be good.
Michael Vick, the play caller.
That'd definitely be worthwhile knowledge. It's going to be fun, I think. So I was looking at some of the rosters. I don't know if your interest is anything higher than a 0 out of 10. I'm assuming it's not. You're normally out on these types of leagues?
Correct.
I'm in to see what they look like. You know, and I've gone to, obviously, I call the Arena Football League Washington Valor games. Congrats to the AFL, by the way. They added two teams. So they're up to six teams now. So it's going to be a good year for the indoor game, hopefully. But I've gone there a bunch and called those games at the arena, and I have a blast with that. It's not the NFL. Nobody said it is, but it's just a fun little thing. This, though, they've got a lot more even NFL talent in this outdoor version than, say, the AFL would. And here's why I say that. You remember the Rocket Man, Rashad Ross from the Redskins?
Yeah.
He's going to be playing for the Arizona Hotshots this weekend.
He was so fast that time.
They don't have a great quarterback situation. Trevor Knight from Texas A&M, a name you'll remember. John Wolford, maybe their quarterback.
I don't remember either of those guys.
If you run through the list of players, you find like former NFL players. Like their kicker is Nick Folk, who was in the NFL forever. The Atlanta Legends. Aaron Murray, I told you earlier, from Georgia. It's going to be their quarterback. You remember Matt Sims was great from Tennessee in preseason football for a couple straight years. Like whatever team Kyle Shanahan was on, Chris Sims' little brother would be the quarterback.
Yeah.
He and Aaron Murray are their QBs. But their running back, remember my guy Akram Wadley from Iowa, who I over-talked about last year? I loved watching him. He's like the starting running back, I think, of this team. You remember Malachi Jones? He went to Appalachian State, but he was all over all the top 10 lists for a season where he was making all those catches.
No, I can't pull it.
He's a stud.
Was he on the Michigan team? The one that beat Michigan, or later?
No. Wait, dude, that was like 10 years ago now.
Yeah, I don't remember his name.
22 years old.
Oh, they're so young? Okay.
And I believe Malachi Jones actually had a lot of success in the Arena League this past year as well, if memory serves. But there's a former Redskin offensive lineman on this team in training camp, John Kling IV. You and I watched him in Richmond.
John Kling.
He got destroyed on a play by like a fourth-string outside linebacker that was not going to make the team. And you and I went, that guy is in big, big trouble.
The Kling gentleman probably won't make it.
He is on this roster. Other names of note that I saw flipping through the rosters. The Birmingham Iron. Who's their starting running back, Danny?
I don't know.
Think superstar in college, top five pick who busted in the NFL.
Trent Richardson has to be.
Trent Richardson.
Great big fat person.
Is their starting running back. Blake Sims from Alabama. Remember him a few years ago? One of their quarterbacks. Was he like the last quarterback at Alabama that wasn't any good?
No, because
he won a ton, obviously.
He's
he played
one of those
at Alabama.
Guys. What was the guy that everybody over talks about still? A.J.
McCarron?
McCarron.
A.J. McCarron was pretty good in college.
Yeah, but I'm saying it's not as if he was anything special.
I thought Blake Sims in college, even by the standards of like playing at a college where you don't have to do a whole lot.
Dude, I just got sent this Pro Football Talk story that apparently Mike Vick is no longer the offensive coordinator of the Atlanta team. What happened?
I don't know. How did that happen?
That's stripped.
That's disappointing. That escalated quickly. Well, that gives a little bit less intrigue. You don't know who the kicker is for the Birmingham Iron?
No.
No, Nick I don't. Novak.
Is he really?
Remember when he beat the Dallas Cowboys?
Oh, on a second chance kick? I do.
I'll be pulling for the Memphis Express. They've got two quarterbacks, both of whom I loved watching in college. Zach Mettenberger at Louisiana State.
I remember him.
Went to the Tennessee Titans. And Christian Hackenberg, who I thought stunk at Penn State. Everyone
should never
loved
have been
him.
Drafted.
But, man, did I love watching him because he held the ball for 15 seconds and he got sacked a million times a game.
Cannot play.
Was terrible with the Jets. Now, I did read a big story yesterday, and I wasted a lot of time doing it, where he's completely changed his mechanics with this coaching staff.
I'm very sure.
And he believes he's got what it takes now to make a run back at the NFL. But some of these guys are going to. There's going to be some happy endings here where you get these dudes running around, playing in the AAF, and next thing you know, they're back in the National Football League.
These leagues, you'll just never get me. The Big Three can go away. This league can go away.
You don't care that the Memphis Express punter is Brad Wing, who we saw punt for the Giants in the division for a couple years?
I don't have any care at all. Whatever they call this one, whatever they'll call the next one, you just can't get me to watch them.
They got a TV deal on CBS. That's big. That's going to get some numbers. People are going to watch football if it's on in their living room. The quarterback for the Orlando Apollos, Garrett Gilbert. Didn't Garrett Gilbert play at Texas? This is saying he went to Southern Methodist, SMU.
Again, I'm out of my Delman.
I remember him in
Delman,
college.
Delman, I'm sure that's a word. I mean, I remember when I was younger, the Arena Football League used to be on NBC, I feel like.
It did. It was amazing. That was when it was huge.
Yeah, that's when it was.
Jay Gruden was the quarterback.
I remember, it's always been a bigger deal. Just because it's on TV, people will watch it thing. I don't know if that's
Well, people did watch the Arena League. Back then, the Arena Football League was massive. They had a full league worth of teams. Jay Gruden, when he was playing and coaching, was a star. That was great. I remember watching that as a kid. Let's see. Anybody else I recognize here? Ben Turk is a punter from Notre Dame. What's the chance he's not related to Matt Turk?
That's a special teams family.
I mean, if you're a punter, you got to be related to Matt Turk, right? And then the last team I've got for you here is the Salt Lake Stallions. You said you're going to be rooting for the Salt Lake Stallions. Why is that, Danny?
I found out that this league starts play this weekend when you mentioned it earlier on in the show. Not a single pixel, to borrow from our own Ted Leonsis, has been used.
Pixel, good.
In front of my eyes. I haven't seen a single thing about it. I haven't even looked at your screen, for goodness sakes.
So if you're flipping through the channel and you have nothing to watch, it's like one of those Saturdays where people are watching golf, and a game's on between two teams, and you see Aaron Murray is the quarterback against, you know, Josh Johnson, let's say, even though he's not going to be playing just yet, you're not going to stop and watch that?
Not for a second.
I cannot imagine that.
Not for a second. I can't imagine ever thinking this is interesting.
Grant, have you officially picked a team yet?
I have not picked a team yet, Tommy. I'm glad you asked. I'm thinking about maybe the Arizona team because I like Rashad Ross a lot. So maybe it's going to be Rocket Rashad. Maybe he's going to go for a bill in the first game.
I'm a Birmingham guy.
Why Birmingham?
Just because I like the reuniting of Blake Sims and Trent Richardson. And it's in Alabama, so I'm all about it.
That'll move the needle a little bit in Alabama.
It's smart, by the way, that they've got guys, at least a couple per roster, that have some affiliation locally.
Smart.
In other words, was it Atlanta?
We just went through eight rosters. I don't know which one you're
referring to. Atlanta is the one that Vic was supposed to work for.
Vic is supposed to work for them. Or Aaron Murray went to Georgia, so there's some connection there. So I don't know who from Salt Lake has any intrigue out there.
That might be why they don't have as good a quarterback situation.
It's entirely possible. It's also that the pickings are slim.
Yeah, they certainly are. But do you watch when the high school games are on ESPN? Do you watch that?
Like the Under Armour All-America game or
that
those kind of things?
Absolutely is fascinating.
Good Counsel's on.
Exactly. When they air, because they do this all the time, like we watched QB1. And our guy, Tate Martell.
Tathan.
Was the quarterback in what was his school in Las Vegas? The number one
Bishop
school in
Gorman.
The country. Bishop Gorman. That's on TV against, say, Good Counsel. You don't watch that?
No, I'm not watching, like,
I love that.
Gorman go play against the team from Florida that was the number two team or whatever
all
the heck
about
that was.
It. So to me, like, the difference is, unless it's the NFL, you don't really care about it.
I care about the
I just like football. Like, I'll go watch a Friday night football game at Hayfield High School because it's 5 minutes from my house and I got nothing to do.
Yeah, that I won't do. Maybe that's the line. I mean, to me, college football, because it's the pinnacle level and there's some NFL draft affiliation and there's intrigue. I might be watching a player that might play for the Redskins. That's why I can't get into college football as much. That and the corruption and all the, you know, the dirty money that's in it. But I can't do these, whatever these leagues are. The appeal of the Big Three, watch for 2 seconds, you saw exactly what it was. It's guys that were in shape at one point, exhausted after a few minutes hoisting bad jumpers.
I think this is a little different than those. Like, those are washed up players. These are guys that either had a chance and didn't cut it or are kind of roster bubble types. These are the 52nd, 53rd guy. There's going to be some success stories out of this. These are all mostly between 21 and 25, other than the specialists. The kickers and the punters seem to trend a little older. Who's going to watch this? That's the question. Anybody going to check this out? Anybody have any curiosity? Even if it's only this weekend where you just want to see what it looks like. 800-636-1067 is the number. 800-636-1067. The Alliance of American Football gets going this weekend. No more NFL. Will you invest some time?
Hi. Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Alliance of American Football debuts tomorrow. Any interest will you watch? Those are the questions. Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener lines are open at 800-636-1067. That's 800-636-1067. I'm very intrigued, and I am really excited to see what this product looks like. I want to get a glimpse of not only the teams and the uniforms, which look awesome, the rosters, the talent. I see a lot of names that I've seen in the NFL that I saw play at a super high level in the power conferences in college. I'm in. Danny could not be further out. And I was not surprised to hear that.
Right.
You're generally out on all of these types of leagues.
Yeah, I will actively avoid it. I will purposely not watch it.
I can see, by the way, a sports fan going, I'm just not into that. I'm not going to go turn on my TV. I'll get something done around my house. I can't imagine not having something to watch in that moment, flipping through the channels, seeing that football game, the debut of this league, and then saying, next button.
I'll never land on it. There's a rerun of The Office on. I have programming that'll be on. So it's like that weird scenario that everyone goes, if two things are equal, two things are never equal. There's always a reason why not.
Saying a game's not on. Like, let's say there's a lot of programming on.
Sure.
If you're not watching, you don't watch the Wizards anymore. But like, if there's a good NBA game on,
mm-hmm.
Let's say give me a good NBA game this weekend. That has to be happening, but just pick one.
Golden State against Boston.
Okay. If there's nothing like that, which mm-hmm. was great last night, and there's nothing for you to watch, and you're just flipping around, and it is either literally a movie that you've seen 100 times on a movie channel, or it's The Office, or it's night one of the AAF. You got to watch the AAF.
You certainly don't. The league won't be around. It's going to fail like all these other rogue leagues fail. This best laid plans, USFL, you can name that league that tried to do this valiantly, and it's awesome that everybody thinks that there's this market for it, trying to give you...
Doesn't seem like you think it's awesome.
The attempts are awesome. People should strive for things. It's the echo or the similar feeling to what the NFL gives you. That same excitement. It's just impossible to have. The NFL has done something that can't be replicated, and people are trying to give you a semblance of that feeling. It just won't click. It won't succeed. It won't thrive. Maybe an early bump, but then it'll go the way of the dodo, as all these things tend to do.
Charlie Ebersole, a filmmaker, was inspired to create this league in 2016. After the making of the documentary, This Was the XFL, when ESPN did the 30 for 30 series.
Which was great, by the way.
So he did a lot of research, examined the history of the XFL, and he came to the conclusion that the concept was actually viable, it could have worked, but that the finished product was poorly executed. It was terribly done. On the field, the football was bad, and the development of the league wasn't good enough. So he started to build this AAF in December of 17, about the same time that word came out that XFL co-founder Vince McMahon was possibly going to renew the XFL brand, which has been renewed as well. And the AAF was announced in March of 2018. Here they are starting a year later.
It's a year to the day. Wow.
Acknowledging that the league would lack the massive infrastructure advantages of the XFL, Ebersole sought, I'm reading from Wikipedia here, creating a solid football product in the hopes that it would attract fans, hired a large team of experienced football players, coaches, and executives. And that, to me, is what's different about this. You've never had this collection of NFL GMs, coaches, players involved. It'll be the closest thing, I think, from a product standpoint to the NFL that we've had as far as outdoor games that aren't the National Football League in a long time. Cheese in Silver Spring, what do you got?
Hey, boys. I'm out. I'm with Danny. Also, this is my gap where it's there's only hockey. It's before March Madness. There's no baseball. My Saturdays are spent at the farmer's market in Old Town because it's lovely. Starting my rewatch of Game of Thrones. And I need a break from sports. If that makes me less of a man, then so be it.
It does not make you less of a man. I like that you're out at the farmer's market.
Which is
lovely of you. I like sitting down and watching games on TV. If I'm not home, I'm not going to rush home for the AAF. But I am going to DVR that first televised game to see what it looks like. Marcus in the district, are you in or out?
I'm definitely in on the AAF. I mean, I follow on Instagram. To me, it's just
wow.
To me, it's just it's the stories. It's, you know, you have so many of these guys who try to make the NFL roster, make an NFL roster, and for some reason, if some, you know, if a coordinator doesn't like them or whatever it is, then they get kind of cast aside. But you have so, you know, the stories that are going to be in this league are going to be amazing. I mean, you can tell that they have a passion for the game and that they really want to play this game. You can watch so many NFL games, and they're boring. So, I mean, just to say that, you know, that the AAF is not going to have players and the game isn't going to be entertaining, we just watched the Super Bowl, which was the worst Super Bowl I've ever seen.
Lowest points ever, yeah. I agree with the first part especially, though. The stories in the game and the fact that these players will be characters in this narrative, in this TV show, so to speak. You know, these guys all have, most of them, been in NFL camps, been in the preseason. Many of them have caught NFL passes, and they're desperate to get back there. And how ravenous they are to return because they sipped that water fountain and now got pulled away, I think makes this a lot of fun. Kevin in Woodbridge, how's it going?
I'm doing good. Well, guys. How are you doing?
Good, great. Buddy.
I'm 100% in, and the reason why is because I think this is going to be a big draw for college football fans, and me being an Ole Miss alum, I saw that, you know, the Memphis Express has got like four or five guys from Ole Miss on there, so
right.
I'm looking at that, and I'm saying this
right
is going to
be
great. I get to see my past, you know, I get to see my past, you know, heroes or whatever. I get to see them playing again, and I think it's going to draw a lot of college football fans with the same mentality as me.
I think you're right, and I think it was strategically brilliant. And that's one of the reasons why I think this could work. But Ebersole looked at a bunch of things that the XFL didn't do well enough and tried to come up with a strategy to say, why haven't these worked? And this was one of the ideas they came up
with. And I do think that's really smart, by the way, because I have no college football affiliation. I went to GW. We don't have a team. We used to beat American University in the 40s. Sorry, this is not something that we have. So I don't have that kind of allegiance. But if you went to Georgia, if you went to name that school, you can find some of the guys that don't get to play on Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
And you can sort of relive a little bit of that. And the regional draft, or whatever you want to call it, the way that the old NBA and old leagues used to do, where you could just, you know, pick guys based on your, before national television was as ubiquitous as it is now, you used to be able to just take guys that went to school in your area, you just pick them up on the pro team.
When you pull up a roster, I mean, there are some random schools in there you're not that familiar with, but it's mostly Michigan, mm-hmm. Iowa, Iowa State, Notre Dame. I mean, it's powerhouse schools. These are guys that were playing on national TV regularly in college. Now, if you're a super big college football fan like Pete Medhurst, you know, I would say 95% of the players that are on some of these teams. People like me and you have heard, you know, of 10 or 12 of these guys in passing and know two or three of them. But you're talking about talent that started at a high level in schools that matter and conferences that are relevant. Tim in College Park, you're on Grant and Danny. What do you got?
Hey, Tim.
Yeah, man, I'm going to definitely say that I'm in. I think when you look at the other sports like baseball, basketball, and even soccer, there's always some type of like lower tier league where these players have an opportunity to make money. And when it comes to football, if you don't make the NFL, you're pretty much done. So I definitely think there's going to be an idea of competition because these players pretty much don't have a livelihood because the NFL didn't work out for them. So I think it's a great opportunity for them, and it's better than watching like drone racing or cornhole throwing on ESPN. So I'm in.
I actually do stumble into that cornhole throwing thing where they're throwing beanbags.
I just can't believe it's a thing.
I can't either, but I'll watch it for
real,
a half
dude.
Hour not knowing that I did.
I miss those like lumberjack games or guys or like the Scottish Highland games. Where are those? They used to be on TV all the time. You know what I'm talking about? Where the guy would actually throw a giant like log or a tree.
It's like the world's strongest man competition.
The Kebertus. It was
so
a big
like
deal.
Sven somethingson.
Magnus Sven
Wilson.
Oh, yeah.
A lot
of
that.
Of course they did.
Grant and Danny, you can hop in and talk AAF if you want. There are other things going on in DC sports. Perhaps you'll watch these, Danny. These are basketball and hockey-related items.
Yes, yes, yes.
We'll get to those next. G&D right here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
One last thing on the AAF, Danny, before we move on. Because I stumbled across some of the rules here I was looking for. A lot of the things you and I say we don't like about the NFL that we want to clean up, they're going to do in this league.
Smart.
So what that means maybe is we'll have a guinea pig for what works and what doesn't. But here are some of the specific big rule differences. Most notable is there are no kickoffs, something Bill Polian insisted on if he was going to be involved. And, of course, he's the guy helping to run this whole thing. The data says that kickoffs are non-dynamic play. Largest number of injuries occur on that play. Fans mostly dislike kickoffs and find it to be a waste of time. So the ball is going to start at the 25-yard line after any score and to begin the game. In or out on getting rid of the kickoff?
In. Smart.
Instead of an onside kick, this one was really weird. If a team is trailing by 17 points and elects to do an onside kick, or there's less than 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter and you want to do an onside kick, there are no onside kicks because there are no kickoffs. So what happens is you get the ball at your 28-yard line for an automatic, like, 4th and 12. If you convert on that one play for 12 yards from the 28, you get to continue your drive at the 40. If you don't, the other team takes over at the 28-yard line.
Wait, I lost that. I got a little confused.
You gotta stick with me here.
I tried really hard.
The 28-yard line,
yeah,
is where you start on one play for 12 yards instead of an
Why?
Onside kick.
And what? Oh, that's what I missed. Okay. In lieu of an onside kick. That's what right. I didn't quite understand.
So it's a 12-yard gain, first and 10 from the 40. Now you're moving.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't get it, the other team takes over at your own basically 25-yard
line. At that spot,
line.
Right.
That was kind of weird. There are no extra points, two-point conversions after every touchdown.
Good.
Overtime rules have the ball at the 10-yard line with four downs and a two-point extra point if a team scores. Field goals are not allowed
Good.
In overtime. There's also a significant change in pass rushing rules via ESPN.com. Teams can rush five players, can't blitz from the secondary. If you have five men on the line of scrimmage on defense, those are the only five who can rush. Less than a month to get our teams ready to play. The hardest part of the cohesiveness is the offensive line. So they don't want basically just quarterbacks getting sacked on every play.
Maybe that was the mistake that NFL Europe made, I always felt like. It was the, you know, what to do against, let's just do a Madden punt rush. We'll rush eight guys and just destroy Tommy Maddox.
And how about this one? Replay officials in the AAF, there is no going over off the sideline to the hood. There is no looking at a tablet. They stay on the field, and they communicate with an earpiece and a mic with a replay official upstairs.
Smart.
In real time.
Yes.
Those are some of the things that they're doing that are not NFL rules.
I like it.
So you give them credit for some of the creativity and the smarts, and we'll see if it actually works. I'll be curious to see if anybody gives it much of a chance. The Wizards have two games this weekend. Speaking of sports worth your time, huh?
Hey.
The Wizards at Capital One Arena tonight against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Tip-off is set for 7 o'clock. We will see Bobby Portis and Jabari Parker, I'm hoping, for the first time.
You would think, right?
They got to be in uniform tonight. That's how it normally works. You get 24 hours or so, and then you play, right? They're going to play.
Yeah, they're both a shoot-around. A lot of pictures, a lot of media presence, it sounds like. Parker talking about a renewed commitment to defense. Oh, I'm sure.
Never been so sure.
Very positive.
The most sure I've been. Great defender, though, when he's committed. So that's tonight and tomorrow. Capitals. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Saturday night and then Monday and Tuesday. They actually play three times in 4 days next week. Only game for the Capitals will be a home contest tomorrow. The fifth of the six in a row they are playing at Capital One Arena. The Panthers are coming to town.
Panthers are not good, right?
They're not great. The Panthers have been better lately. They've won, I believe, five of their last seven at this point.
I could use a couple wins against teams that the Caps should beat. That's Florida and the Kings.
What are you looking to do? Just stockpile some points at this point?
What I'm thinking about, and this is weird, because you've got this six-game road trip that's coming up where you're going to go out west and do that three-game weirdness.
I hate that road trip.
I hate it so much. I hate it more than athlete's foot.
No one's ever been worse at that road trip than the Capitals.
I remember the Caps one time like tied one of those games, and it was like cause for celebration. I want wins against Florida and against the Kings from Los Angeles. Can I get that? Can I get it, Grant?
Can I get it?
Can I get a 5-1 homestand?
I don't know that you can.
I want it.
Elton Brand is the GM of the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yes, he is.
He's done a hell of a job. It's kind of random that just a dude I remember his entire career. I remember him playing at Duke. Remember him being a power forward on my fantasy team, going 20-11 a lot of nights. He is the same game like every single night. It was so much 17-20 foot, back people down, like shooting off the glass. He banked like Tim Duncan all the time off the square on the back of the backboard. That guy has become a good general manager kind of quietly out of nowhere. Just took over the 76ers and made a bunch of good trades.
Well, maybe that's John Wall's future because Brand had the same Achilles injury and was never the same. So he was a 2010 Maven. He was a star. He was great. And could never do anything again because of the Achilles injury. Same one that John Wall has.
What if John Wall became a outstanding general manager?
I would love it. I'd be really excited about it. Seriously, I would be. I really like John Wall.
Would it have to be here in Washington or anywhere?
It'd be cool if it was here. It would mean Ernie Grunfeld got fired, which he should every
Perhaps
second of every day.
Perhaps he could work under Ernie.
And to learn the ropes.
Give me an ETA, you think, on the next time the Wizards have a GM that is not Ernie Grunfeld. If you had to put money on it, it actually matters that you're right.
Right, it matters.
I would say, I think he survives this season.
And then he gets next year.
He survives the offseason, I guess. I'll say next offseason he's out. I think after next year, sans Wall, whatever happens, they have a bad year. I think next year is the last year of Ernie Grunfeld.
They've already let him begin whatever this is, this retooling. Not a rebuilding, but this retooling. They're going to let him talk to agents on behalf of the team about Satoransky and, you know, trying to re-sign Trevor Ariza, which, again, is so stupid. So, to me, he's got years now. This letting him go through this means, well, you've got to let him see the next iteration of this team through with or without John Wall. They're going to let him do it. I don't know that he's going anywhere. I think he'll retire before he gets fired.
That's, to me, like the Wizards fan feeling bad for themselves part of this. Like, you don't really think he's never getting fired. Everyone gets fired.
You would think. I mean, but here we are. Well, you're 16. What does it take? Does it take two teammates fighting with each other so much that one guy brings in guns into the locker room? I mean, does it take that? Does it take having the worst team culture in the sport? Where guys are cutting up suits and doing poo in the shoe? He didn't get fired for that. He didn't get fired for getting rid of draft picks year after year after year. And
I mean, they made the playoffs 4 out of 5 years and got out of the first round 3 of those 4 times. So he bought himself a little bit of time. It's not like it's been all terrible.
The 5 years previous, they averaged 21 wins a year.
I know.
He got all sorts of time. I know.
I'm just talking about right now. People act like they haven't won in 23 years. Well, no, they swept a team in the first round. They've been in the playoffs. They got to game 7 of the second round under him recently. And I'm not sitting here defending Ernie Grunfeld. I don't think he should have a job. But I guess my point is, it's not like you can't come up with a reason why, as of this moment, he's got one. Do you watch any of the NBA players drafting the All-Star teams
last night? I actually missed it. It's primetime kid bedtime, so I missed it. I heard it was actually pretty entertaining.
It was a blast. It was so fun. Good job, NBA. That was really, really cool. LeBron and Giannis going back and forth, kind of jawing at each other and talking a little trash.
Was Bradley Beal the last pick?
He was almost the last pick. I don't believe he ended up being Mr. Irrelevant. It was like 2 picks after him. You're saying he was? Well, they list 2 guys after him on the draft. So I don't know why they do that.
Was it Dirk and D. Wade?
Oh, that's exactly. That's why.
The honorary
picks.
All-stars.
Yeah, there you go.
So yeah, he's the last pick of the guys that actually deserve to be All-Stars. Mr. Irrelevant. Or Bradley Beal.
Yeah, it's still the last pick among the All-Stars. Not really a dishonor.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. Thank you for watching. Much appreciated as always. Thanks to Tommy and Brendan for their hard work behind the scenes as well. Chad Dukes is next, 2 o'clock. Chad Dukes versus the world. We'll try this thing again on Monday.
Why don't managers pitch out for Chad Dukes versus the world? 4.5 hours next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.